like to give a shiur on Sanhedrin, but I want to say over some things on the parsha in the beginning. Okay. I remember when I was a Talmud in high school, we had a big Talmud HaChamim as Rabbeim. I remember one of the Rabbeim was Rabbeinu Fishman, and a few years after I learned by him, he died from cancer. So I remember we went to visit him in the hospital. He was on his deathbed and he was talking and learning. So it must have been Parshas. So he told us that he always wondered whether the din of Kom Leibed Rabbeinu applies in the case of Yom or Yomayim. The din is that if one burns someone else, so Yechayv Nisa. If you kill your own Eved Kanaini, so there's a special din of Yom or Yomayim Yamod, Lo Yukam Ki Kaspahu. If the Eved Kanaini survives 24 hours, Yom or Yomayim means Meis Leis. So if he survives Meis Leis, then it's not Chayv Nisa. If he dies within the Meis Leis, then the Odin is Chayv Nisa. So he was wondering, what does that mean? It's a Ptur, so it should be covered with Tana de Bechizkia, that if a person is Mechal Shabbos B'Shegig, you also say, Kom Lebe Derab Mine. But he say no, that it's not called Ritzicha at all. I remember Reichi used to say over two Ibn Ezra's. He used to chuckle when he said over the two Ibn Ezra's on Parshas Mishpatim. One on the Pasuk, Ki Yigav Shor Ish Ashor Eyehu. So the Torah says that you pay Chatzin Nezik the first three times and you pay Nezik Shalom the fourth time. So how do you translate Ki Yigav Shor Ish Ashor Eyehu? Reuben Shor kills Shimon Shor. Shor Eyehu, a Shor that belongs to another person. So the Ibn Ezra quotes one of the Karoim. Every so often he quotes the Pirushim from the Karoim. So who the Ben Buta, I think, who translated Shor Eyehu, a friend of the Shor. So the Ibn Ezra makes fun of that and he says, Ein lo Shor Reya ele Ben Buta bilvad. The concept of the Hebrew term Reya only applies to human beings, doesn't apply to animals. Then there's another Ibn Ezra that Rav Soloveitchik used to say over and chuckle, on Parshas Mishpatim. There's a very difficult pasuk towards the end of Mishpatim. Melayoscha v'dimacho losa acher. Very difficult pasuk. The Gemara in the beginning, Rashi and Chumash quotes the Gemara beginning of Temura, interprets, we don't know pasuk pshat in the pasuk, interprets the pshat in the pasuk that Melayoscha is referring to Bikurim, that you're supposed to be Mafrish Bikurim when the person goes to his field and he says that the pears are fully ripened. And demacho is referring to truma. Why is that referring to truma? Because there's a din of meduma, of dimua, medamas, truma medamas. Truma medamas is a din medirabon. So the Gemara understands that the pshat and the pasuk is, you're not allowed to be mishana the seder ha-hafroshes. First, you're supposed to be mafrish bikurim when it's still mechub l'karka. If you weren't mafrish ben chub l'karka, you could be mafrish after your toileshit. And then you're supposed to be mafrish truma gdoile after that, then maiser rishon after that, then maiser sheni after that. So one who's mishana, the seder ha'afroshes, is loike, is a violation of this pasuk. Malayoscha v'demacha lo sa'acher, don't postpone the ha'afrosha of the malayo after the demacha. But it's a very difficult, pirush ha'milus is very difficult. So the Ibn Ezra again quotes one of the Karaites, who interpreted Mayoscha means when you get married, you have to start having children right away, if it's physically possible. So Mayoscha refers to when your wife is pregnant, so she has a big stomach. And Demacha refers to the Zera Habal, when he makes his wife pregnant. Lo Se'acher, you're not allowed to postpone having children. So the Ben Ezra makes fun of the Pshat, so he says, you should say the reverse. You should say first, Demacha Mayoscha Lo Se'acher. It's out of order. How does it say first Melayos and then Demach? A novel pshat. If you look in the Sefer HaChinuch, he lists off all of the mitzvahs in the order of the parshios, not like the Rambam and the Sefer HaMitzvahs who rearranged all of the mitzvahs. We're not sure exactly what the Seder of the Rambam corresponds to. It starts off with Anochi Hashem Elokecha. It starts off with the most important mitzvah, but then it doesn't seem to continue in that order. So it's much has been written, and it's still very unclear. What is this? What is the Seder of the Rambam and the Seder HaMitzvah, Sefer HaMitzvah, if there is a Seder? So the in the Sefer HaChinuch and several other Rishonim, you have that Parshas Mishpatim counts as two Parshios. You have up until Kesef Tal Sami is Parshas Mishpatim. Then the second half, I think it's in the middle of Revi. Middle of Revi or the middle of Chamishim? No, here. Middle of Revi, you have Kesef Tal Sami. Is a different Parsha. Different Parsha. It's delayed on two different weeks. The Rishonim say that there are Nun Gimel Parshios. There are 53 Parshios. We really have, I think, 54 Parshios, no? The 54 Parshios, because we always have Nitzav Vayelech. I counted as two. So they quote that the Vilna Gaon once told Rav Chaim Volozhin that everybody knows that Nitzav Vayelech is one Parsha. I don't know what that means. But, so they're really 53. So even according to the, apparently that's a passage in the Zohar, that there are 53 Parshios. What's the significance of a parsha? We're not too sure. Al pidin, you have psuchas, you have stumas. What's the significance of a parsha? Sometimes we read matas masay together. Sometimes we read tazriyah matzora together. What's the significance? I'm not sure. But here the sefer achinuch and some other rishonim have it that in case of tal v'sami is a separate parsha. In Parshas Mishpatim is the first time it appears three times. You have the mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel to visit the Beis Hamikdash.
Is that the connected with Eruv Parshios Kasev Kan?
I didn't hear
anything. He asked if that was connected with Eruv Parshios Kasev Kan. He asked if that was the connection.
Could be. Got to figure out how, but it's possible. Yeah. The Torah has in three different places the mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel to visit the Beis Hamikdash, to visit the Azorah, and to bring L'Yerofan Ayrekam, to bring an Oil Asriya. If a person visits the Azorah and doesn't bring an Oil Asriya, he's in violation of the Lav L'Yerofan Ayrekam. So the Pasuk says, Yeroh calls the Churcho, that women are exempt from the mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel. Then the Gemara talks about Eved Kanaini. See, the parsha begins with slavery. That was a big debate when they had the Civil War and they were pilfering about whether slavery is improper or proper. So the rabbis in America were also expressing their opinions. The slavery, the way the non-Jewish Americans treated the slaves, that certainly is not proper. They used to beat them up. They treated them like animals. There's a din of lo sirtzach. There's a din of yom ha'yamayim, but there's a din of lo sirtzach. By us, you're not allowed to buy a non-Jewish slave and leave him non-Jewish. The Gemara says it's going to make the whole house trafe. It's going to trafe up the wine at the rabbanim. But it's going to make simbos v'chol. It's going to make everything trafe. So the Gemara says if you bought a non-Jew as a slave when they had the institution of slavery, so you have to either see to it that you convert them quickly or sell them to a non-Jew. You're not allowed to keep them around the house. If you convert him, then he's an Eved Ivri, then he's an Eved Kanaini, so then he'll be Chavim Mitzvus Ke'isha. If he'll convert L'Shem Ben Chorin, then he'll be a Ger, he'll be Chavim all the Mitzvus. But Kozman is an Eved Kanaini, then he's Chavim Mitzvus Ke'isha. An Eved Ivri is not at all a slave. The Gemara Yerushalmi has the famous comment, Taisus in Kiddushin, the first pair quotes the comment from Yerushalmi, Hakoina Eved Ivri, Kikoina Odon Liatzmo. You buy yourself an Eved Ivri, he's going to balabatava over you, because the Gemara says, Kitov La Imach. If he wants to stay on, Kitov La Imach, then you do Ritzia, and he remains an Eved Nirtzah until Yovel. So why is it called Kitov La Imach? The Gemara says, Imach Memaychal Imach Bemishta. Whatever steaks you eat, whatever kind of fancy desserts you eat, you have to give the Eved Ivri also. And Imach, if you sleep on a beautiful bed, he has to get a beautiful bed. If you have two pillows, you have to give him two pillows. Then Yerushalmi says, what if you only have one pillow? So if you're going to sleep on the pillow, he's not going to have a pillow. It'd be a violation of Imach. And if no one will sleep on the pillow, Stama Amidas Doim. So the Yerushalmi says you have to give the pillow to the Eved. So that's what Yerushalmi says in connection with that case. Eved Ivri, Kikoina Odon Liatzma. And Eved Ivri is Mamish, a Jewish worker. He signed up to stay for 6 years. But he's Muta Bishchakninis. Okay, we discussed when we learned Davo, we discussed the Machloikis, Taisus, and the Ramban. Is he Muta Bishchakninis on his own? Is only Muta if Rabbi Mosolo Shivchakninis? That seems to be a Machloikis Harishonim. But Eved Kanaini is a Chayv Mitzvah Keishuk. So what if you have a person who's a Chatz Yevet v'Chatz Ben Chorin? The Sefer Minchas Chinuch is known for raising this issue. And every couple of pages he raises the issue. What's on this mitzvah? What's on that mitzvah? What's on that mitzvah? What's the din of Chatz Yevet v'Chatz Ben Chorin? And he's known for a new thing. What's the din of Chatz Yisrael v'Chatz Nochri? That doesn't say in the Gemara such a thing exists. So Minchas Chinuch holds that such a thing can exist. And he often pilps, what's the din of Chatz Yevet v'Chatz Ben Chorin? What's the din of Chatz Chatzi Yisrael and Chatzi Nochri. So what's usually the din of a Chatzi Eved v'Chatzi Menchorin? So an Eved Kenayni is not his chayv in mitzvahs kisha. He doesn't have a chayv in tefillin. He doesn't have a chayv in tzitzis. And the mitzvah says has magrama. He's a blank. But the Chatzi Menchorin shebo, he's mechuyev. So whenever you have a Chatzi Eved v'Chatzi Menchorin, all the mitzvahs that noshim apotter, so the Chatzi Eved v'Chatzi Menchorin will be chayv mitam the Chatzi Menchorin shebo, with the exception of aliyah l'regel. The first Mishnah says in Chagiga that the avodim she'enam mishuchrorim, avodim she'enam mishuchrorim, are not chayiv in aliyah l'regel. So the Gemara understands it to me, thing to imply that even if you have a chatzi ebed v'chatzi ben chorin, who's usually the chatzi ben chorin shebo is mechayiv him in the mitzvah says the shazmar hazman grama. Because the Avodas is not a poter from tefillin. Avodas is not a poter from shofar and from lulav. It's just the Eben is not mechuyev. He's a blank. The Chatzi Ben Chorin is mechuyev, so he's mechuyev because of the Chatzi Ben Chorin. Here, Avodas is a poter. Because the Pasuk says, Sholosh Pam Moshon Ero Kol Zchurchos Pnei Ho'odon Hashem. Why does it say Ho'odon? Mishein Le'elo Od Nechod. Yotze Zeshein Yesh Lo Od Nacher. Eved Kenayni is poter from Aliyah L'Regel, not only because he's only chayv mitzvus ki isha, and women are poter because it says Yerok Kol Zuchurcho. No, the Eved Kenayni is poter for another reason, because Yeshlo Od Nacher, he has another Odin, namely Odin Abbas of Adam. The only people I'm chayv in Aliyah L'Regel are those who can have a direct relationship with our Kodesh Baruch Hu. Ein lo Od Nacher. The Eved Kenayni is a poter from Aliyah L'Regel. So if he's a chatz yevet v'chatz ben chorin, Chatzi Eved Shebo is a poiter, a patism from the mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel. You don't say the Chatzi Ben Chorin Shebo is Mechayvim, Abdus is a poiter. There's a surprising Rambam, we're not sure exactly what the Mokar is. The Rambam writes that Chatzi Eved Vachatz Ben Chorin is not kosher le'edus. So how did he know that? There's a din women apostle le'edus. So there's a din Eved Kenayni is also apostle le'edus. Okay. Lolo Me'isha. Eved Kenayni is dina ki'isha, that she's posuleidah, so the Eved is also posuleidah. But if it's a chatzi Eved v'chatzi ben chorin, maybe mitam the chatzi ben chorin, he should be kosher le'edus. How did the Rama know that the abdus is a posel? Maybe pshat is, abdus is a blank, like an isha. The isha is not a blank. So maybe the chatzi Eved should just be a blank, and he should be kosher le'edus, mitam the chatzi ben chorin shabam. So the Rama writes a chiddush in Hilchas Eidus, that a chatzi Eved v'chatzi ben chorin is posulated, that Avodus is a posel. Rav Soloveitchik encouraged the students who knew German that they should read, they should study Rabbi Hirsch's commentary on Tehillim and on Chumash. He said he has a lot of beautiful things. Now everything is translated into English and into Hebrew, so you don't have to know German. Okay. I remember when I learned in the yeshiva, I think I told over this story, when I was a student in high school, so I was a student in Rabbi Weiss's shiur. So Rabbi Weiss taught us Chumash, because it was in high school. The Rebbe's supposed to teach Chumash. Maybe in the college also, the Rebbe should, maybe in Smich also. Rabbi M should also teach Chumash. Why only high school? So I remember he told us a commentary from Rabbi Hirsch, something that Rabbi Hirsch explained a certain din. So just about 10 years ago, I wrote up at Dvar Torah and I quoted that comment from Rabbi Hirsch, and I didn't know where the original source was. So I asked all of the people in the neighborhood who are the experts in Rabbi Hirsch's commentaries. No one ever heard of it. They didn't know where it says it. So I confronted Rabbi Weiss, and I said, remember many years ago I was in Yoshia? So he said, of course I remember. Remember you taught us Chumash? Yeah, he remembers. Bamidbar. He remembers. He taught us that you was Bamidbar. So I said, you told us in the name Rabbi Hirsch? Yeah, of course. So I said, where is it? He says, it's on that pasuk. So I said, how come nobody in the neighborhood knows? He said, because Rabbi Hirsch's commentary is written in German, and they translate it into Hebrew and into English. But in the middle of the German, every so often, he has a shtickel Torah that's in Hebrew. So whatever was written in Hebrew, they never translate. They just left it out. The shtickel Torah in his commentary. That was a shtickel Torah. But here, Rabbi Soloveitchik said, oh, the name of Rabbi Hirsch, and today, Sedra, it has the dinim of the Arbo Shamim, Shamachinim, Shamasachar, Vashoel, and Asocher. So the pasuk talks about a show, ki yishal ish me'im reyehu. Ki yishal ish me'im. If you borrow something from someone else, in biblical Hebrew, that's called ki yishal ish me'im. And before Yetzias Mitzrayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu instructed them they should fulfill Ohayroa Shoah once in the history of the world, that on Erev Pesach, they have to knock on the next door neighbor's door, the Mitzrayim's doors, and ask for matonis. Yishal ish mishchenta migores basic, kalaches bechleizov usmolos. So people mistranslate, that's what Rabbi Hirsch says, they mistranslate, they say that what it means is that they ask the neighbors to lend them. It doesn't say v'shol me'im shchenta, it says v'shol isha me'yeh shchenta. Lisha me'im means to borrow, lisha me'yeh means to ask for a matana, to ask for a gift. He says it's a mistranslation to say that they borrowed and they never gave back. They were instructed to ask for matanas, and it was understood that they're not going to give it back. Rav Soloveitchik was fond of saying over the Machlokes Rashi and the Ramban. Rashi, the Gemara has a principle, a mukdam miyucha batur. Gemara in the first parak in Psochim and other places. The Gemara asks, how can you darshan a klal prat to klal? A klal prat. Maybe a mukdam miyucha batur. Maybe it's a prat to klal. Who says that it's a klal prat? Maybe it's out of order. The Gemara says, no, b'chod inyona. In one parsha, the things are in order. But from one parsha to the other, betray inyona, then you say, emukdam miyucha batur. So how often do you say, emukdam miyucha batur? So once in a while, it's mukach from the psukim. Bamidbar, the sense of Bamidbar has a date. It says when this happened and when that happened. So clearly this happened before that. So the Ramban is of the opinion that you only say, emukdam miyucha batur, when it's mukach from the psukim like that. And we shouldn't add on additional things. And this is in this disagreement with Rashi, who invokes this principle in many instances, even though it's not muchach at all, and even though they're not midrashim that say so. So here at the end of Parshas Mishpatim, the Torah says on the occasion, we're not finished with this story on Maamar HaSinai. Maamar HaSinai was in Parshas Yisro, then in Parshas Mishpatim, you have all the dinim of Mominus. The Mefarshim Achumish say this is to explain the pasuk of Naseres Adibris. It says you're not allowed to steal from other people. So what's the definition of stealing? So when you read Parshas Mishpatim, you know when you're entitled to the money, when he's entitled to the money. So this is all an interpretation of Leisigzo. If you're entitled to the money, so you can ask for it. If he's entitled, you're not allowed to take the money. This is all to explain Parshas Leisigzol and Aseres Adibas. Then at the end of Mishpatim, it goes back to the story of Maamar HaSinai. Then we put special karbonis. This is the mocker of the din that a ger hamizgayer is obligated to have three things. B'shlosh advarim nechnusa aviseinu lebris. That's how the Rambam starts off Hilchaseres. That's the Rambam is quoting the Gemara in Krisus Davtes. The gimel advarim nechnusa aviseinu lebris. The milo utvilo v'hartzo azdomim. Hartzo azdomim means a korban. So on the occasion of Maamar HaSinai, it was a national geirus, so they brought, the whole Klal Yisrael brought a korban geirus. The Doris, you don't have a national geirus. Each and every individual geir has to bring korbanos. And if a geir is mizgayer bizman hazeh, so the Gemara needs a pasuk to say that the geirus is chal. One might have thought that just like the milah and the filo are meyakev, so the korban is also meyakev. The Gemara quotes a pasuk, the korban is not meyakev, but the Mishnah says all of the geirim who convert today will be obligated, if they should live so long, to be zeichet to see the Beis HaMikdash b'binyanai, they'll all be obligated to bring korbanos hageir at that time. The Avnei Nezer has a very fascinating idea. He was a big genius. He always has very original ideas. He points out that the Gemara Rosh Hashanah says that Rabbi Yechem Azaka was the chief rabbi. Under his leadership, the Beis Din HaGadol made 9 takanas. So one of the 9 takanas was Bitlu es Roiva HaKav. That after soon, Rabbi Yechem Azaka was the chief rabbi living through the Churban HaBayis. He was chief rabbi before, during, and after the Churban HaBayis. We don't know how long after. The Gemara says he was chief rabbi for 40 years. So you don't know how many of the 40 years were before, how many after. But it's clear that he lived before and after, and during the Churban HaBayis. So the Mishnah says that the practice was after the Churban HaBayis, those who had converted and didn't have a chance to bring a carbon, so they would set aside, they would designate an amount of money that if the Beis HaMikdash will be rebuilt during their lifetime, they're going to use that money to bring the carbon hager. And then after a couple of years, they realize that it's not a smart idea, that they put aside the money, and then somehow the money disappeared. They put it in an envelope, they marked this is for the carbon hager, and then somehow someone else used the money, and it was forgotten that that was supposed to be for the carbon hager. So people were in violation of the ilo, because the money was set aside to bring a carbon oilo. You have to bring ilo oilas behema, or oilas ha'oif. If you bring oilas ha'oif, then you have to bring two. You have to bring two oilas ha'oif, because a carbon ha'oif, b'shleimusai, is when you bring two. So either you bring a chatus ha'oif and an oilas ha'oif, by your ledes and by mitzorah, or over here you bring two oilas ha'oif. According to the Rambam holds that you can be oilas riyah. We have the gears in the Gemara in the first parak in Chagiga, that when you come to be oilas regal, shol shugol and pesach shvur sukkas, you have to bring an oilas riyah. So in our Gemara it says the oilas riyah has to be a behema. You're not yotze if you bring oilas ha'oif. And the Rambam and the Meiri had the girsa that you can't be yotze with oilas ha'oif. So that's what the Mabit writes in the Kiryas Sefer. Mabit was the contemporary of Rabbi Yosef Karo, the Bar Plukta of Rabbi Yosef Karo. So he also wrote on the Rambam. But the Kesem Mishnah was accepted and printed in all the editions of the Rambam. And the Mabit's Kiryas Sefer always has unusual things. It's not at all as good as the Kesem Mishnah. Kesem Mishnah gives you a mocker for every Rambam. It's a Gemara, it's a Yerushalmi, it's a Tosefta, it's a Tshuva Sagoinim, it's a Pasuk and Chumash, whatever. And the Mabit, once in a while, he doesn't even try to give Marmakomis. But once in a while, he has Chidushim. So he writes this Chidushim. Rav Velbel Soloveitchik said, it sounds like it's correct, according to the Rambam, that one can fulfill a mitzvah of Oilas Sriya by bringing Oilas Ha'oif. So the Gemara says you have to bring two. Whenever you're mechuyev to bring a korban ha'oif, so you have to bring Bishlei Musa. If a person wants to volunteer Oilas Ha'oif, he can bring one. He wants to volunteer an incomplete korban. So if it's very incomplete, we don't accept it. But incomplete, you bring one Oilas Ha'oif instead of two, that you do accept. Rashi HaChumash points it out in Parshas Vayikra. But whenever it's a korban that you're mechuyev to bring, so then the Gemara says and increases on Daf Tesem and Aleph by the Ger, you have to bring a minimum of two. So you have to bring either by the Oledes, you bring a Chata Soif and an Oilas Soif together, or by the Ger, or by the Oilas Ria, according to the Rambam's Ger, so you have to bring two Oilas Soif. So the Gemara learns out that every Gersh and his Gar has to bring a Korban from the Parsh. So again, so the Mishnah says that after the Churban HaBayis, the practice was that the Gerim Shenizgairu used to set aside money, and then they were waiting, maybe the Beis HaMikdash will be rebuilt. And then after a couple of years, they realized it's not being rebuilt, and all the money is disappearing, so it's not a smart thing. So Rabbi Yechem Zakai's Beis Din made 9 takonis. This is one of the 9 takonis. They abolished this practice. They were mevatel, setting aside the Roiva HaKan, setting aside the money. Setting aside the money for the oilas riyah. So the Avnei Nezer has in his Chubis, he discusses how come you only find this in the Gemara by oilas ha'oif of ger. Let's say by yoledes, you never find that all of the women who had babies after the Churban HaBayis set aside money. That if the Beis HaMikdash should be rebuilt, or someone was Machal Shabbos b'shoigig, or somebody ate on Yom Kippur b'shoigig, or somebody ate Chametz b'Pesach b'shoigig. Somebody ate, someone was Baal Ishtanida b'shoigig accidentally. somebody ate the chela b'dam b'shegig. You don't find that other people who mochi, if they bring karbanas, set aside money. Why is that, what a strange thing. Why only the ger? Why the ger set aside? See, he's the ha-genius. Abdeneza, everything by him is a genius. It's not shaykh, his talmidim weren't shaykh to pick up genius. Either you have it or you don't have it. So his talmidim are very sharp, but they weren't geniuses like he was. So you have one of the talmidim, one of the prominent talmidim, wrote a sefer, but it's not at all. He wrote a sefer, he thought that it was in the same style as the Rebbe. The Rebbe was a genius, it's not shaykh. Rav Soloveitchik picked up a lot from the Avdei Nezer. So he was taki a genius also. So he picked up a lot from the style of the Avdei Nezer. He said over a lot of things from the Avdei Nezer. So the Avdei Nezer has a suggestion. He thinks that the Korban Hager, he thinks that there is Shonim Hall, that the Korban Hager is the Ikuva. And the only reason why we're able to be Mekabel Hager Bizman Hazeh, because of a pasuk, so the derasechem means throughout all the future generations. Even though the Chumash it says there may come a generation where there won't be a Beis Hamikdash, and still in the Chumash it talks about you can accept the ger in all the generations. So since you're unable to bring the karbanis and it says the derasechem, So you see that the korban is not leikuva. So the Avnei Nezer thinks that hakdoshas hakorban is possible today. So he thinks that the reason why, see, if a person was machal shabbos b'shekeg, a woman had a baby, and she's mukhif to bring the korban. So what will you accomplish by being mafrish the money, setting aside the money? You won't be out to the mitzvah unless you actually makriv the korban. But by the ger should have really. We should have said that. Hakrovas HaKorban is Likuva. But you have a pasuk that teaches you whatever you can't do is not Miyakev. But the Hafrashas, but the Hakdosha of the money, that is possible to do. So he suggests that the Chachamim at the time of the Churban HaBayis held that the Hafrashah of the money is Ma'akev by the Ger. Because that you are able to do. The Hakrovah that you're unable to do because there's no Beis HaMikdash to speak of. So that's why they only set aside the money by the ger, by the others, they never set aside money. You mechuyev to do whatever you're able to do. You mechuyev to do, and it's ma'akev in the geras. And then later, when the chachamim made this gzerim with the rabbanon, then now you're unable to do. Just like when the Romans destroyed the Beis Hamikdash, so you're unable because of the fact that the goyim destroyed it. Your hands are tied. You are unable to be makir of the korban. So now, because of gzeras habezdin, the bezdin agadol of Rabbi Yechman can make 9 takonis, and one of the 9 takonis was not to be mafrish. They were mevatel roi v'hakan. They were mevatel that you're not allowed to be mafrish, and now you're unable to be mafrish the money because of gzeira midrabbanan. Your hands are tied. So since you're unable to be mafrish, so it's not miyakiv. That's the question is a very good question. How come you only find in the Gemara that the gerim used to set aside money? You don't find that anybody else was mechuyev korban set aside money. And the pashta says it doesn't make sense to set aside money. What are you going to accomplish? Set aside money is the first step. But the Zrik, the Dalar Avodas Adam Amiyakev, you didn't get to the punchline. The answer that he gave is very, very questionable, very mechudishtik, but the question is a very strong question. Okay, let's see a little bit Gemara. Okay. At the end of the Perek, the last topic in the Mishnah discusses what's the minimum population you have in the city that the city should be obligated to establish a Sanhedrin of 23. Because the Pasuk on the previous daf on Tezayin on the base, the Gemara quoted the Pasuk, Shofte v'shotn titl lecho lishvatecho lisharecho. Lisharecho means every city. And lishvatech means every shevet. So every city. So what's the definition of a city? So the pashtus is that we had a gemara on the previous daf on the bottom of Tezvav on the base, but there was a machleg Rabbi Yoshi, Rabbi Yonason. What's the minimum population you have to have in a city that it should be able to become an irani dachas? So the Ravid took. We mentioned the Ravid in Hilchas Mikra Megillah. Hilchas Megillah quotes this gemara, but Negeir too. the opening Mishnah in Megillah, that you read the Megillah on three different days. Bizman Baisheni, they had the practice to read the Megillah. Those who lived in Shushan are Yoris Hamakov Schaim Oysen Shul Benun, read the Megillah on Shushan Purim, and Tesvav Ador. Those who lived in any other city read the Megillah and Yudalit. Those who didn't live in a city, B'nai HaKfarim, had a kula, a leniency. If they want to, they can read the Megillah on Purim and fulfill all the mitzvahs on Purim. And they gave them a kula that they can read the Megillah. If Purim didn't fall out on Monday and Thursday, they can fulfill the mitzvah Mikra Megillah on the Monday and Thursday prior to Purim. That's called the Yom HaKnisa. Then the Gemara says on Beis Amud Aleph, the first daf in Megillah, that din no longer applies Bizman Hazeh. After the Churban HaBayis, he's going to tell people they can read the Megillah before Purim. They'll get all confused and they'll observe Pesach on the wrong day. Everybody knows that a month after Purim is Pesach and you're going to Tzedrei Da'olam. So that practice we don't have anymore. The kula that we allowed the B'nai HaKfarim to read on Yom HaKnisa before. So what's the definition of a kfar in an ear? So the Gemara says there in Megillah, Rashi quotes it over here. Here, Rashi on Yud Zayin Amud Beis quotes Megillah Daf Gimel Amud Beis. Kol Krach Shein Bar Asara Batlonim Nidin Kikfar. B'nei HaKfarim HaMagdimim B'yoy Maknisa. If you don't live in a city at all, so then you have the kula. We allow you to read the Megillah on Sheni V'Chamishi prior to Purim. If Purim didn't fall on Sheni V'Chamishi, so the Gemara says there Megillah. And the Gemara says over here Al Pidin. It doesn't have the status of a city unless you have Asara Batlonim Shal Beis HaKnesses. What's Asara Batlonim Shal Beis HaKnesses? So Rashi writes the Rambam in the Pirush HaMishnah is there Megillah doesn't seem to say the same as Rashi, but Rashi writes that this is based on the Gemara and Brochus. Rashi quotes Brochus Davov. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to the Beis HaKnesses and there's no minyan, miyat kois, he gets upset. How come they don't have a minyan for Shachris, for Mincha, or for Ma'ariv? So they used to have a normal Jewish city, saw to it that they had 10 people who don't have to work crazy hours. Doctors sometimes have crazy hours. A lot of people have crazy hours and they can't always daven in a minyan. So the real Jewish community that it should have the status of an ear has to have Asar Batlonim, 10 people who are dedicated, maybe they're funded by the community. That's how Rashi writes, they're paid the salary by the community to make sure that there's always a minyan Shachris Binchamar. And that's all you need is Asar Batlonim. So the Ravid writes, the Rama quotes the din Asar Batlonim, the Gemara Megillah, Dav Gimlam and Beis. The Gemara here says also, when you calculate what's the minimum population you have in the city, in order to be chayiv to appoint the bezdin, shoftim shot titel lecha lisha recha b'chol ir v'ir. So the Gemara says you need asara batlanim. So the Rabbi says, but you need more. You have to have a minimum population, either 10 or 100. Okay, so 100. So the Gemara is going to say you need more than 100. Okay, so the 100 you're going to have. But that's we mentioned that Rabbi is relevant for mikra megillah. He says you only have a din of ear if you have a minimum population of 100 people. The maximum, that's a different verse. The maximum, that's only a p'tur ba'ir and idachas. If the city has, let's say New York has a few million people in it, but if you have too large a community, it doesn't lose the status of an ear. That's a drasha and din in nefashas. You bend over backwards to be makel, because he'd see later. Tzilueda teaches you that the Midrash HaTorah and the Dreshes Behem should be different than Benegiah to Din Nefoshes. Here you darshan Kisishma Biachas Orecho. If you hear in one of the cities that they became an ear and idachas, that they worshipped Avodah Zarah, so you say Orecho, an ear, the Lo HaKrach. If it's too big a city, then the Din of ear and idachas doesn't apply. Okay, so that's only a Din in Din Nefoshes, and ear and idachas you make them. But as far as Tchum Shabbos, that you say the whole city is Kedal Aram's dummy, or as far as when you read the Megillah, whether you have a right to be Makdim Liyom Maknisa, so there's none, or they say if the city is too big, it doesn't have a din of a city, so you're not chayv to establish a Bezdin of 23, that doesn't make any sense. The city is too big, that's only a din in Irani Dachas. Only bend over backwards, Lahokil, with respect to Irani Dachas. This population, the 100, the minimum of 100 population, let's say sometimes you have motels in the airport. You may have at any one given time 1,000 people staying in the motel every single night, but they were there for a very short period of time. So this minimum population that the Ravid picked up on, the Ravid said that din in the Gemara on the bottom of Tezvav and the base is not only a local din in Hilchas Erani Dachas, it's whenever you need a definition of an ear. So that's minimum population, the Mishnah Brura has this, but again to a different din in Hilchas Erevin, Chelek Dalet, the Mishnah Brura, they have to be living in the city in a permanent way, not stop at the airport, they're sleeping over in the motel for two or three nights. The question is, how long do they have to sleep over in the city? So in the end of the Masechta, the end of Sanhedrin, and then Bava Basra also, the Gemara quotes, there are sometimes dinim that depend on 30 days, and if you live there for 30 days, then you're called a member of the city, and sometimes there's a din that depends on 12 months. So that's a question. When you have the definition of an ear, that you have to have a minimum of 100 people, either minimum of 10 or minimum of 100. So the Ravid assumes that we pasken 100, not 10. Rabbi Yoshe, Rabbi Yonison there. So when you say you need a minimum of 100 people, they have to live there with a certain degree of permanence. So I would say it should be a shaila whether it's 30 days or 12 months. The Mishnah Berurah quotes a Rashba. What's the name of the sefer? The Rashba has a sefer on Hilchas Erevin. Avodas HaKodesh. So I think he quotes from the Avodas HaKodesh 6 months. I don't know where that shiur came from, the 6 months. That I found very peladic. I would have thought either the days are 12 months. The Gemara says there's some din in their eyes that depend on 30 days, some depend on 12 months. There's a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. The Mishnah at the end of Ksubis, the last parak in Ksubis. It's a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. What if a person only tours Eretz Yisrael? He visits Eretz Yisrael, goes back to Chutz Lortz. Is he in partial fulfillment of the mitzvah? But he say, no, you have to live in Eretz Yisrael permanently, you just visit temporarily and not Yotze. So that's a big machlekes in Achrayim, the Knesset Hagdola. We mentioned yesterday, Knesset Hagdola is the sefer that made a likut of all Achrayim after the Beis Yosef. And after the Knesset Hagdola, you have Shari Knesset Hagdola, then you have the Chidah, Birki Yosef, and many other sefer likutim. But the Knesset Hagdola quotes in Hilchas Erev Shabbos, there's a din, you're not allowed to go on a boat trip within 3 days before Shabbos. Two opinions, whether it goes Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, or only goes Thursday, Friday. Whether Wednesday is also included, or it's only Thursday, Friday, Shabbos, Wednesday you may go. So you're not allowed to go on a boat trip, different reasons are given, within 3 days before Shabbos, unless you're going with a Dvar Mitzvah. So what if a person is going to visit Eretz Yisrael? So the Magen Avraham quotes from the Knesset HaGdola that's a Machlekes Achrayim. Is that also a Dvar Mitzvah, or is that only a Dvar Hashus? On the assumption that visiting Eretz Yisrael is also a Dvar Mitzvah, so then there are three opinions, how long a visit? So the Knesset HaGdola himself quotes that the Gemara that says the end of Ksubas Kolam Halach Dalan Amis Beretz Yisrael gets a Mechilas Avonis. The Gemara quotes the Pasuk at the end of Hazinu, V'chiper Ad Masoi Amoi. So the Pasuk Pshat in the Parsha reads, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to cause a Holocaust to occur. And everyone will be wondering, V'yomer, Aye Elokeimu, Tzur Chasoyabo, where was God when all of this was happening? That's exactly what everybody said. Where was the God of the Jewish people when everything was happening? And then it says, after this awful Holocaust will occur, then it concludes, V'chiper Ad Masoi Amoi, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will appease his land, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will appease his nation. It means that Eretz Yisrael will be rebuilt again. That's what happened soon after the end of the Holocaust. The Chiper and the Targum says the Chiper means Mefayes. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will appease his land and he will appease his nation. And the Jewish people were started to rebuild again, started to multiply again. Soon after the Second World War, the Jews in the DP camps, the concentration camps, after the Nazis lost the war, after the war was all over, so they became displaced person camps. It was called DP camps. So the highest population growth in the world, anywhere in the world, was in the DP camps. That's what they wrote at that time. Now they say the highest population growth in the world is in Lakewood. That's what they say. I don't know. So the Pashat Shat and the Pasuk is, after this awful Holocaust will occur, which is prophesied by Moshe Rabbeinu in Hazinu, then it says, after everything will be over, B'chiper ad Masai Amai, means HaKadosh Baruch Hu will appease his land, which was in a state of Shmama for so many years, and he will appease the Jewish nation. And the Gemara has an additional level of interpretation, not Lefi Pshutai, B'chiper ad Masai Amai, that if a Jewish person lives in Eretz Yisrael, living in Eretz Yisrael gains an atonement for the person. It means you never get to the Pnei Yeshua, writes on that Gemara. It's self-understood that it means the person does tshuva. But there's no atonement unless the person does tshuva. You bring korbanos and you get an atonement if you do tshuva. You get a kapara if you get the death penalty. So the Mishnah says you have to say vidu, you get a kapara if they give you malchus. So all the kaparas are only contingent on the doing of the tshuva. So the Gemara says, "Kol ha'mahalach da'al ha'amis be'eretz Yisrael gets a mechilas avoinus." So that's why the Magen Avraham quotes from the Knesset Hagdolah, the two opinions, is one permitted to embark on a boat trip to go to Eretz Yisrael just for touring purposes within 3 days before Shabbos. Is that a Dvar Mitzvah or not? So the opinion that holds that it is a Dvar Mitzvah holds even if you're not going to stay for 30 days, just going to walk Da'al HaRamis and then leave right away, that's also considered a Mitzvah because V'chiper ad Masai Amai, that's the concluding phrase in the Shiras Hazinu, that Eretz Yisrael gives a kapara for the Jewish people if they walk Da'al HaRamis. The Gemara says it gives you a bigger kapara if you live there permanently. If you're buried in Eretz Yisrael, it gives you a partial kapara, but it's Ein Adoyma, the kapara, Ein Adoyma called if a person moves there, it's a son that he lives there while he's alive, that's a bigger klita, that's a greater degree of kapara than if the person is buried in Eretz Yisrael. So others accept this concept from these achrayim, that there's such a concept as a partial kiyum mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael, but they think Da'al HaRamis is not enough. Da'al HaRamis, that's mechilas avonos, but a partial kiyum mitzvah. So some say it's by living there 30 days, and some say it's by living there 12 months. So that's why they suggest, let's say a person has intercession, and he can make a ticket to go stay in Eretz Yisrael for slightly less than 30 days and slightly more than 30 days. So you should go for slightly more than 30 days to make sure that he gains that opinion. Or if a person is taking a sabbatical and is going to live in Eretz Yisrael for approximately a year, a person goes to study in Eretz Yisrael for a year, so they can make a ticket for slightly less than a year, slightly more, so make the ticket for slightly more. So you'll gain that opinion that the partial key of my mitzvah living in Eretz Yisrael is if you live there a year. So what the Avodas HaKodesh writes, the Mishnah Berurah quotes Avodas HaKodesh, 6 months. I find that very surprising. Where is there a mark in the Gemara about living 6 months? There's a Gemara about renting. They used to rent apartments, they used to rent homes, different seasons of the year. So if I rent you an apartment, it doesn't say in the lease how long I'm renting. Everything is bal peh. It's understood that it's only for 6 months. That's how called Minhag Medina. It depends. If the Minhag Medina is that you rent for 2 years, so stam is for 2 years. Minhag Medina is that you rent for 6 months, and then it's for 6 months. But why should that play a role in establishing whether Al Pidin is considered a city? Because the Minhag is that there are two seasons in the year when you rent. That should be relevant. Either 30 days or Yud Beis Chodesh.
According to the opinion that walking through Eretz Yisrael Da'al HaRamis is a kapara, but Pnei Yeshua, it's only totally on doing tshuva. So then what's the kapara? If you're doing tshuva anyway, then why do you need Eretz Yisrael?
Well, the Gemara in the end of Yuma quotes the Tana who lived in Rome, Amasya ben Chorosh, says, there are bor chiluki kapara, the 4 degrees of kapara. So if a person was mevatla mitzvah saseh, let's say he didn't daven one day, he didn't like tefillin, and he does tshuva, ein azaz misham ad shemochlin lo, he's forgiven right away. Avraham lo yisaseh, lo asa tshuva, so tshuva toilav yom kippurim mechaper. You have to wait till Yom Kippur to get the kapara. And if he violated krisis, or misas bezdin, so then even tshuva and Yom Kippur are not mechaper completely, you have to have yisurim as well. And if he made a chil Hashem, the tshuva with the Yom Kippur with the Yisurim is only partially mechaper till you have Yom Amisa. So it means if you halach Da'al HaRamis Beretzal, you don't have to wait till Yom Kippur. You get to mechilas avonos right away.
So if tshuva is a mitzvah, then wouldn't that also be a dvar mitzvah? I mean, according to the one who says that, you said the Osama Acharonim say that it's not a mitzvah, it's just a kapara. Right? So they say 30 days or a year. But if kapara itself is a mitzvah, if you could say, meaning if tshuva is a mitzvah, then there's no difference.
I don't know. Interesting question. Okay. I don't know. So the Gemara is trying to make a whole calculation over here. What's the minimum population in the city that you should be mechuyev to establish a bezdin, a Sanhedrin of 23? So one opinion, one thought in the Mishnah says 230. Why 230? Because you have Sari Alofim, Sari Meri, Sari Chamishim, Sari Azorois. So the lowest number that a person is dying over a group of people, he's a mamuna on a group of people, is Sari Asaris. So in order to be obligated to appoint a Sanhedrin at 23, you have to have a minimum population of 230. So each one of the members of the Sanhedrin is sort of a Sari Asaris over 10 people, 9 people with himself. He's included in the 10 people. So that was one Tana. And the other Tana came up with a number, 120. Where'd you get 120? Sagamatria. Where'd you get 120? If they would have said 100, I would have understood. 100 is based on the Gemara before. So where's 120? So the Gemara gives, the Gemara ignores the Ravid's Gemara on the bottom of Tezvon base. Gemara makes a whole calculation. This is unbelievable. So the Gemara says, the Sanhedrin Tana consists of 23. And then they had Gimel Shuras of Talmidim. And they had Gimel Shuras of Talmidim. Each Shura had 23 Talmidim. So the Sanhedrin Tana alone already has 4 times 23. So 4 times 23 is 92. How big a population do you need in a city in order to appoint a Sanhedrin Tana? So you need 92 people to sit in the Sanhedrin. So who works for a living here? Then you need 10... Asar Batlonim, 10 people sitting in shul all day long. Okay, and who else? Anybody working for a living here? 92 Rabbanim sitting in the Bezdin office. Then you need 2 Chazonim. Chazonim doesn't mean the Chazon Sheni. Chazonim means the Shliach Bezdin, who delivers the Hazmanas, and he makes sure the guy shows up, and he puts him in Gerim. Those are the 2 Chazonim. Then you need the 2 Sofrei Hadayonim. This is all the Bezdin. This is all the Bezdin. Then you need Shnei Baladinim. The Bezdin of 23 is for Dinim Nefashis. It's not for Dinim Amunis. So I don't understand. What do you mean Shnei Baladinim? Shnei Baladinim sounds like a Dintar of Dinim Amunis. So you need another 2 Baladinim. You need Shnei Adim. Okay. Then you need a possibility of Beidu Shatioch Lazimini Shnei Zemimim. Then you need Shnei Zemimim. So that's, if you add all together, you start off with 92, you add everything together, you have 114. So you're still missing 6. How'd the Mishnah say 120? So the Mishnah says, so the Gemara said, there's a Gemara in Bava Basra in the first parak, where it says, Kupa shel tzedok andigvus bishnaim, mischalekas bishloisha. So Rashi says, 2 and 3 is 5. I thought it was the same 2 plus another one. So Rashi says, no, 2 and 3 is 5. It's 5, so you're only missing 1 person. So who's the additional 1 person? He's the guy who works for a living. He's the doctor. He's the local doctor, the moyel. He takes care of he cuts all the bushes. He's the malamed. What else? He's the shopkeeper. He sells peiris. The one guy does everything. It's a very strange gemara. Very strange gemara. They made a whole calculation. How you need a minimum population of 120. Okay. Chodesh Tikkun gemara. Good. Then the gemara says that there's an institution of Yosifu. If you have a Sanhedrin of 23, Sanhedrin Tano, and somebody says any idea, so you have to have Yosifu Adayonim. Keep on adding, up until maximum number you can have is like Bez Nagol. How many are there in Bez Nagol? So the Gemara says either 70 or 71, depending on the Machlok Zabud and the Rabbanu. Yisyatsu Sham Imoch. Imoch means Vat Bahadayu. But Moshe Rabbeinu is the consultant, but he's not part of the Bez. So the Gemara has other Tanaim say not 230 and not 120. So they have a different number. Where'd they get this gematria from? 277 and 278. Where does that gematria come from? So the Gemara says, because you have to, this is all the Bezdin. The Bezdin said 97% of the population of the city is all because the Bezdin needs the three shuras of Talmidim, and you need backups to be Boisif on the Bezdin up until 70 or 71. Very surprising. Come on, one person in the city works for a living. It's a different kind of a city. Sounds like if Shas will take over the government, they'll follow the Gemara. They'll have this kind of a city. Okay. A cheerful perik. I enjoyed it. Okay. So let's see the next perik. Chav Gimel Amram starts. Okay, he's going to pick up. Let's say you have a Sanhedrin of 23. So, and they want to give me the death penalty because witnesses say that I was Machal Shabbos. Witnesses say whatever, I was Bolei Shishish. And I say, I don't like that Bezdin. I want to go to a different Sanhedrin. So they ask, do I have a say in the matter? I don't have a say to pick the Bezdin of my choice. There's a din. I don't have the right to choose which Sanhedrin. They catch me and they put me in prison and they judge me and they give me the death penalty. I don't have to pick the Bezdin. A knas is also a knas is an einish. So I don't have the right to pick the Bezdin that's going to judge me on a knas. An einish malkus, an einish misa, an einish of knas, that's an einish. The shaila is indeed a moment is where it's not an einish. You're not talking about knas, talking about moment. So there's, let's say we discuss Kiddush HaChodesh. Kiddush HaChodesh can be done with a Bezdin of three. So the Ramban wrote in the Sefer HaMitzvahs, any three rabbis who have smicha, Rabbi Tam, Rabbi Dick, and Rabbi Harry, any Tom, Dick, and Harry, three Bezdin get together, call a Kodim Zacha. Whoever will be Mekadosh the Chodesh first, they want to, for some reason or another, they want to make Rosh Chodesh today or tomorrow, whatever, they have a reason why. So call a Kodim Zacha, whoever jumps in first. It's not fair, it's not right, because the Kiddush HaChodesh issue is neged to all the Klal Yisrael. So the Ramban wrote on the Sefer HaMitzvahs, and it says in Kuf Nun Gimel, that Bizman Sheyesh Bez Nagadol should be the Balabatim to decide, because it's a psak that's neged to all the Klal Yisrael. But he says it's not really Likuv, it's out of respect for the Bez Nagadol. You shouldn't run in and do on your own. But when there's no Bez Nagadol, so then any Tom, Dick, and Harry can do it. The Rambam says not so. The Rambam says you need Bez Nagadol. So when it comes to Dini Mominus, any Bezdin has the right, let's say, Bezdin sees the way three rabbis saw the way I crashed into your car. So they sit there, they're watching, and they make a psak. So I say, Mi Somcha, who asked you to give a psak? How much I have to pay? I didn't ask you. I don't agree that you should function as a Bezdin. So does the Baldin have to agree? The Baldin, let's say he refuses to go to Bezdin. Refuses to go to Bezdin, so Tosfos showed from the Gemara, he can be koy for him. Like if a man refuses to give a get, so the Gemara says in the end of the Gittin, Ela Mishpatim, Shetosim Lefneim goes on Kfiya, Mili the Isu Yekfiya, Shetosim, Ela Klei Adayonim, the Gemara said, so it goes on Kfiya. So it goes on Kfiya if a man refuses to give his wife a get, a man refuses to observe mitzvah, so the Bezdin should be koy for him. And if a man refuses to go to a din Torah, then they'll be koy for him. What if the guy agrees to go to a din Torah? But I say, I don't want this Bezdin. I want to go to a different Bezdin. Any Bezdin of Shlosha Smuchim has the right to be done on Gzeilus V'Chavolus. That's Gzeilus V'Chavolus that you need Shlosha Smuchim. Any three Smuchim can be done on their own. That's a Hatoras Nedorim. A guy took a neder, and the Bezdin says, oh, you don't realize what's involved. If you would realize... He took a net, he's not going to attend his mother-in-law's 100th birthday party. They said, Bezdin says, mutalach, mutalach, mutalach. You don't realize, you're a young guy, you don't realize your mother-in-law is going to get angry at you, you're going to ruin your shalom bayis, your wife will never talk to you. Mutalach, mutalach, mutalach. So the din is, it's not valid. The din always, the Gemara talks about, handishalacham, she'ela. She'ela means the Baal HaNeda has the request of the Bezdin. He has to pick the Bezdin, request of them, he wants hataras and if he doesn't approach the Bezdin, he doesn't ask for it, they can't give a Hataras Nedarim just like this. He has to ask for the Hataras Nedarim. If it's an Onesh, a Misa, or Malkus, or Knas is also an Onesh, so that has to be imposed on him. So that, of course, he doesn't have to agree who the Bezdin is going to be. That they catch him Bal Korch. What about an Adini Mominus case? Mominus case, not a Knas. Adini Mominus case. So the Gemara comes out to the Maskana, Zebar Lechav, Zebar Lechad. Each Baldin picks one die in the Shnei Baralam Baidechad. So the Gemara sounds like it's a Takonim in the Rabbanim. The Gemara explains, why should you do like this? Read the Gemara. Here's the second white line on Chav Gimel Amud Aleph. Amri b'marav mishmei the Reb Zeira mitoch shezebor lo dainecha b'zebor lo dainecha shnebor lo maidecha yetsa din lamita. It sounds like it's a takana with the Rabbanim that things will work out better. Rashi explains, since I had input, I picked one dayam, he picked one of dayam, so both of us will be happy whatever the outcome will come, whatever the outcome will be. Bezin is going to pass and I'm a chuyev, so I won't balk, I won't be upset, I will be upset, but I'll accept the psak because I had input in choosing the bezin. So it sounds like this practice is a takana midrabban, but it could be that it's based on a din d'oraisa. It could be that the din d'oraisa is that if it's a case of dini mominis, that's not a knas, it's not an onish, it's a case of dini mominis. Maybe that's the ikar din d'oraisa that the baladinim are supposed to agree. This form of agreeing, zebor la dainech, zebor la dainech, and the two dayanim pick the third one. Maybe that's a takana midrabban. But the fact that the baladinim have to have a say, that you just can't have a bezin imposing their psak on the case. Maybe that talk is a din d'oraisa.
So I read you with Elu Tassim. What do we do with Elu Tassim? What do we do with Elu Tassim about kfir?
What do you do about
kfir? In the first paragraph, we said that.
If the fellow refuses to participate in a din Torah, then we have to be kai for him. Okay, that's the opening pasuk. Together, mishpata moshe tassim. And Sima goes on a elukle adayonim. Sima goes on a tangible thing. Then you have to be koy for him. You have no choice. But if he's in agreement to go to a din Torah, so maybe on the level of the rice, he has to have input. Maybe in Minator, really, they should both choose together a bezin. So instead of requiring they should both choose, and maybe this form of choosing, it sounds like it's a takonim of the rabbanim, but maybe it's rooted really in a din d'oraisa. Maybe the din d'oraisa says that he has to have input in choosing the bezin.
What if there's a based in kavua ba'ir? Can they still do a sabla?
Based in kavua. If there's a based in that's kavua ba'ir, can you still reject?
You're not supposed to have a zabla. No. Rav Moshe Feinstein complained many years ago, now it's worse than it ever was before, that these zablas are scandalous. Everybody picks a gangster dayan, and he pushes for his party. They act like lawyers in a court, and they tina shel sheker. Yeah, Rav Moshe said the whole thing is not right. If you have a bezin kavua, you're not supposed to have any zablas. Every community is supposed to have a bezin kavua. Yeah. Let's see the Gemara again. So the Mishnah starts off, Didi Mamanis Bishloisha. Zebar Lechav, Zebar Lechav, Shnei Bar Lechav, Shnei Bar Lechav. So the Gemara thought, Rashi points out on the Mishnah, Zebar Lechav, the Gemara thought, one Baldin picks one Bezna of three, the other Baldin picks another Bezna of three, and the two Batidinim pick a third Bezna of three, so you have Sacha called a Bezna of nine. So the Gemara says, what? But it says, Didi Mamanis Bishloisha. It doesn't mean nine. My Zebar Leechav is a Bar Leechav. Bitlos HaSagi, you don't need nine. All you need are three. So the Gemara says, Hachikama. It means like this. Not that this is the way, this is the preferred way, this is the correct way to go. That he should pick three, and the two Batidim should pick three, have all together nine. No. Hachikama. Kish Zebar Lebez Nechot. If Reuven picks one bezin, he says, I don't want to go to your bezin. And Shimon picks a different bezin, so I don't want to go to your bezin. So you can't force Shimon to go to Reuven's bezin, you can't force Reuven to go to Shimon's bezin. So the two batidinim should pick a third bezin. Shnei bar lehem boy dechod. So I can't force my bezin down your throat. You can't force your bezin on me. So that we have to both come up together. We have to both, Reuven and Shimon, have to agree on the third bezin. So the Gemara is translating Zebar, this is not the way to do it lachatchila, it means kishe Zebar, if in the event that Reuven will pick one bezin and Shimon is not happy with that, Okay, so that Barla and the other party, Shimon will pick a different Bezin of three, and Reuven is not happy with that. So then the Mishnah says neither can force the other one. So then together they have to be Baralahem, a third Bezin. I was going to ask it. It doesn't read straight in the Mishnah. Okay. So before you get to that, so the Gemara is going to ask, I feel the love of Matzah Miyakev. Reuven and Shimon, each one has the right to reject the other one's bezin. Is that fair? We have a pasuk, Eved Loiv Elish Malve. And the Gemara says later, Rashi quotes it from the Gemara at the end of the Perek, we have a pasuk, Tzedek Tzedek Tirdoiv. What does it mean, Tzedek Tzedek Tirdoiv? So Poshep Shat is, it's an ashara for the bezin. The bezin should paskin in a just fashion. So the Gemara says, yeah, that's one pshat. And then Tzedek Tzedek Tirdoiv is an ashara to the Balei Dinim. Halocha Acha Bezin Yofer. If you know that there's a crackerjack bezin, there's a very good bezin in Baltimore, there's a very good bezin in Boston, in New York, all the Batidinim are criminals, but they're not so learned. But in Chicago, there's a gewaltig bezin with a big Talmid Chachamim. So tzedek tzedek titav halocha chabezin yofa. The Chumash is telling the Batidinim they should try to go to the bezin that's more learned. But to travel out of town is expensive. So the Gemara says, what if the Malve lent money to the Loive, and the Loive has a whole reason why he doesn't want to pay? The Loive admits that he's a Loive. It's not a dispute whether he ever borrowed money. The Loive admits that he's a Loive, but he has tainus why he doesn't want to pay the money, or he doesn't want to pay all the money, whatever. So does, and the Loive is a wealthy man. So does the Loive have a right to say, I want to go to the Bezin in California? It's a better Bezin. Everybody knows the Bezin in California is a better Bezin than in New York. So the Loive has a right to make the Malve spend money to go to a better bezin. So the Gemara says, if the Malva demands, I want to go to a better bezin, which is out of town, so then, that's a gerechta taina. But the Loiva has no right. The Loiva has no right to insist that the Malva should go to a better bezin out of town. So that's what the Gemara asks over here. How can you say, Zabar Lechad, Reuven picked the Bezdin, and Shimon's not happy about that. Shimon picked the Bezdin, Reuven's not happy about that. And each one has a right to refuse to go to the other one's Bezdin, so then neither can force the issue, so that both parties have to agree who's going to be the Bezdin. So the Gemara says, V'afila loive motzim yakev. But we know from Rav Loza at the end of the Perek, that Eved loive lish malva, the loive has no right to be maksa de malva. So what right does the Loive have over here to refuse to go to the Bezin of the Malva? So the Gemara gives two answers. So first is say, Kedam Rabbi Yochanan bar Kosha b'Suri Yoshanu, Achanami bar Kosha b'Suri Yoshanu, Avol Mumchim lo. So the Gemara says, maybe the only reason they had many communities but they didn't have Talmidei Chachamim. Not the way the Gemara described that 97% of the population that the city is sitting in Bezin all day long and sitting alone, only one guy is working for a living. So there were communities where no one knew how to learn, but they had to have a legal system. Every decent community has to have a legal system. So they appointed Arkoy Shebesuria. They appointed Batei Dinim, and everybody was Mekabalim. The Tzibur was Mekabalim. They know that the Arkoyes don't always guess correctly. They don't know Chumash so well, they don't know Mishnah so well, they don't know Gemara so well. So once in a while they'll paskin correctly, according to the Dinat Torah, and very often not. But that's okay. The community was mekabel these people as the Dayanim. So Rabbi Yochanan interprets the next line in the Mishnah. Mishnah says, Zeh poisel dayna shal zeh, b'zeh poisel dayna shal zeh. Divra Meir v'chachamim, emes ha'bizman shemei v'aleim, ha'etz machlekes, Rabbi Meir v'chachamim, where they can puzzle the other guy's dying. So the Gemara says, what kind of business is that? What do you mean here? Take a look on the third wide line. On Chav Gimel Amadav, Zeh Poisel Dainah Shal Zeh, Kol Kimine, the Poisel Dainah. What do you mean? You pick the Dayan. Zeh Bar Lechav, Zeh Bar Lechav. Each Baldin picks one Dayan. Then the two Dayan pick the third one. So the one Baldin can say, I hold that Dayan is Poisel. How can I declare your Dayan is Poisel? That's ridiculous. Kol Kimine, the Poisel Dainah. How could there be a Machalek Zeh Meir Nechachamim? Why is it Zeh Poisel Dainah Shal Zeh? So Rabbi Yechanan interprets the Pshat, Amar Rabbi Yochanan bar Kosha b'Suri Yoshanim. It's talking about a situation where the community doesn't really have any learned people there. So they appointed, once in a while, learned people visit there. So they appointed just to have a legal system. So they appointed nice balabatim who will try to paskan according to din haTorah, but a lot of times they don't know what the din is. So there's kabbalas hatzibur. There's kabbalas hatzibur. So I have sometimes a concept of kabbalas hatzibur. Let's say in Shulchan Aruch and Hilchas Shabbos it says if you rave hatzibur, if you live in a little village and there's only one shul in the village, and the rave hatzibur davens Shabbos early, mekabel Shabbos early. So the Kabbalah Shabbos of the Rav HaTzibur is binding on all the Yechidim. So the Yechidim can say, I want to work till the end of the day, and I'm going to daven later, I'm going to make my own minyan. If the Rav HaTzibur is Mekabel Shabbos early, so then the Miut is nigger after the Rav. So sometimes there are Dvarim Shel Tzibur, that the Rav is Kaveh. So here, you have a community where they know they don't have Talmid HaChachamim. So the Tzibur decided they have these salaried Dayanim. This is the local bezin. We salary them, they should function as dayan. But we know that they're not learned. So most of the people, most of the balabatim in the community are satisfied to go to these dayanim, and they observe the psak that they give, knowing that it may be that it's not correct. It's a pshara. Okay, maybe a pshara. Pshara means whatever Yosha dictates. So they think that Yosha dictates like that. So that's the machlekes. The Rabbi Yechanan interprets that that's the case. And the Mishnah is that Pesel Dainash Azeb is that Pesel Dainash Azeb Div Rav Meir V'chacham Marmim that you can't. The Rav Meir is of the opinion just because the Rav HaTzibur, if the Rav HaTzibur is Mekabel Shabbos early, so it's binding on the Miyot HaTzibur. That's a different kind of Kabbalah. There's Tosefes Shabbos of the Yochid, and then there's Tosefes Shabbos of the Tzibur. So if Ruba Kekula, if Rav HaTzibur is Mekabel Shabbos early, so that's Chal on the whole Tzibur. Whoever wants to be Mekabel Shabbos earlier than that can make his own private personal Tosefes Shabbos. But everyone, or let's say, when Shabbos is over, so the whole Tzibur waits till a certain time. So that's the Tosefes HaTzibur before Shabbos begins, the Tosefes Shabbos at the end of Shabbos also. You're not supposed to end the Tosefes Shabbos before the Tzibur ends the Tosefes Shabbos. Then after the Tzibur ends officially, if you want to extend longer, hey, wait longer. But there's a Tosefes Lefanah, Tosefes Lachareh of the Tzibur. See, there's also such a concept. So the Chachamim say, we spoke about it yesterday. We have a din, Hakol Kaminik Hamdina. Hakol Kaminik Hamdina, where that's the Mishnah in the end of Bab Metzi and Aseches HaUmnim, Aseches HaPoelim. So the Gemara says that the din is based on the Pasuk in Baruch Hinafshi, based on the Psukim. It's Yodim Lafalo Velavodosa Yadayorev. That a laborer is supposed to work from Alos al Shachar till Tzeis HaKochavim. That's according to the halacha. So, so let's say I hire a worker and I say, you work with me Monday through Thursday, all day long, and Friday just till 1 o'clock, and I give you $2,000 a week, a deal. So he works Monday through Thursday from 9 to 5, then Friday he works from 9 to 1. Then he comes and he wants his $2,000. I say, what do you mean? You're supposed to come from Alos HaShach and stay till Tzeis HaKochavim. 9 to 5 is not the right hours. Alos HaShach is before 6 o'clock in the morning. It's 5:45 in the morning. You didn't do as I said. I never heard of that. He says, what do you mean? It's supposed to get Baruch HaNafshi. So the Mishnah says it doesn't matter what it says Baruch HaNafshi. Hakol Kaminik Hamdina. If the Minik Hamdina is that they work from 9 to 5, if they didn't specify the Farish, when I said, you work for me 5 days a week, all day long, and Friday you only work till 1 o'clock. And I didn't specify what it means. I didn't specify that it means from Alos HaShachar till Tzeis HaKochavim. And the Minik HaMdina is that everybody only works from 9 to 5. So Hakol Kaminik HaMdina, whatever is the Minik, is considered Kilu Hisnu. And Masna Mashkasa Batoira, Bedov Shebimam, and Tanoikai. I can make whatever conditions I want. I can hire you that you should work every day from 12 to 1, 1 hour a day, every day, and I pay you $2,000 a week. I can make whatever agreement I want. So if I agreed that if you work from 9 to 5 every day, I pay you $2,000 a week, also, I'm chayiv to pay. I didn't say one way or the other. So what did he mean, bistama? So it depends what's the umdina. So whatever is the minig amdina is considered kilu hisnu. That becomes the din deraisa. That becomes the din deraisa. That's what the shach writes in Choshim Mishpat, we have a dina, dina de malchus a dina. So the Shulchan Aruch quotes the Tshuvas HaRashbo, Adina de Machus Adina only applies if at least one of the parties involved in the case is a non-Jew. If all the parties involved are Jewish, you don't apply Dina de Machus Adina. Let's say Dina de Machus when it comes to inheritance. So when a man dies, so the sons and the daughters yarshan equally. And all the Goyish countries, that's how they paskin. And Rashi writes on the Gemara that by Goyim, that is the Din of Yerusha, Bein Abbas Yerushim Ka'achas. The Gemara says like that, that the Christians did like that, Bein Abbas Yerushim Ka'achas. Rashi writes that that's the Din by the non-Jews. So can you say, let's say, a person did make a will, and you're going to go to a Din Torah, so you're going to say, Din of the Machlus Adina. You have to divide Yerusha equally among the sons and the daughters. So the Rashba says, that's ridiculous. So you take the whole Chosh Mishpat and throw it in the garbage. We don't follow Dina the Machusa. If one of the parties involved is not Jewish, by Yerusha, it can't be one of the parties not Jewish. If one of the parties is not Jewish, maybe sometimes he can have. Someone was telling me, a Shaila, he married a Gioris who had children from a previous marriage. She has non-Jewish children. And then he raised these non-Jewish children. They never converted. So now, as a Shaila, how does he make out his will? He wants to leave Nechosim to the non-Jewish children of his wife. Okay, so if some of the parties involved are not Jewish, so then you do apply the Dina Machusa. Okay, in that case, you will apply the Dina Machusa Dina. But if you have a normal case, a regular case, where someone dies and all the people in line to get Yerusha, they're all Jewish, so you don't follow Dina Machusa. Dina Machusa only applies if at least one of the parties involved is a non-Jew. So the Shach quotes from the Mordechai, who quotes from the Bali HaTosfos, what if a person deals in business with Jews and non-Jews? So whenever he deals with non-Jews, he follows the Din of Machusa. Whenever he deals with Jews, he has to screw his head on differently and start thinking according to the Din of HaTorah. He has to make conditions that should correspond to what the Din of HaTorah are. So the Mordechai, and what if he doesn't know who the customer is? Today you can't always tell whether the person is Jewish or non-Jewish. So the Mordechai quotes from the Bali HaTosfos, if someone is in business and he deals with Jews and non-Jews, and when he deals with the non-Jews, he knows he's following Dina de Machusa. So the minig is that even if he's dealing with Jews, he also follows Dina de Machusa. And since that's the minig hamdina, what if, let's say, people will enter into a contractual agreement? I'll hire workers, and I'll say, if there'll be any dispute, we'll go to a Din Torah, but I want to follow Dina de Machusa. I don't want to follow Dina HaTorah. You can make whatever conditions you want. So if I sell merchandise to someone and I say, not that I crashed into your car, so the Torah imposes the chiyuv, but it's an agreement that they both entered into. A person hires an employee, or a person delivers merchandise. So that's a contractual agreement they enter into with midaitam. So if you want, you can say in advance, I'm only agreeing to this is chayvus, to this deal, if there'll be an asik, if there'll be an issue later on, I want to follow Dina Machusa. So if you make such a condition, it would be binding. So you're not supposed to go to Goyish court, that's an issue. You have to go to a Jewish peasant, but the Jewish peasant has to paskin according to the Dina Machusa. There are certain Botidinim here in New York who say that only someone who went to university would say such an apikurs and shizach, that a person has to, but the Chazanish says, and that's what it says in the Shach. He quotes it from the Mordechai. That's what the Bali HaTosfos said. If the Minhag HaMedina is that a person who deals in business with Jews and non-Jews, since when he deals with the non-Jews, he knows he's following Dina de Machusa, so the Minhag is that even when they deal with Jews, it's self-understood they're going to follow Dina de Machusa. So whatever is self-understood, whatever is the Minhag HaMedina, is considered Kilu Hisnu. Whatever you make an eye, called Trasha Mamamun is Kayim. That's the Yerushalmi has that comment. The minig oika halocha. When is minig oika halocha? So Yerushalmi is talking about a specific case. And some people think, if you have any wacky minig, the minig is that we carry on Shabbos without an Erev. Minig is that we cook food on Shabbos. As long as you have a blach, you can cook raw food on top of the blach. There is no such thing. Minig is not oika halocha. Minig oika halocha is in a specific case. The context in Yerushalmi is in that case. The fellow worked from 9 to 5. And the agreement was if he works a whole week, a whole day, 5 days a week, a whole day, and then Friday he works till 1 o'clock, I pay him $2,000, comes at the end of the week and he wants the $2,000. I say, no. It says in Baruch HaNafshi, you have to work from Ador Soshachat till Tzei Sokacham. So the worker says, I never heard of that. So if the Minig HaMedina is that everybody works from 9 to 5, the Minig is Oike the Halacha of HaMoitzi Mechaveira, all of Haraya. Normally, if there's a sichsuch, am I mechuyev to pay you $2,000 or not? So the money is in my bank account. I'm the muchsuk. The employer is the muchsuk. So hamotzei mecharei olav haraya. So the employee should have to prove that the agreement was from 9 to 5. So since the minig hamakom is that everybody works from 9 to 5, so the minig is establishing minig is kilo hisnu. So the minig tells you can violate the din of hamotzei mecharei olav haraya because you don't need a raya. The minig is the raya.
Based on that, why are you not allowed to charge ribbis?
Based on that?
Why are you not allowed to charge ribbis?
Ribbis
is an issa. I can't make an agreement to be Michal Shabbos. I'll hire you, and I'll say the understanding is you drive the truck for me 7 days a week, including Shabbos. So you can't make an agreement to be Michal Shabbos. I can't hire you to cook a basa b'cholov. An issa is an issa. Ribbis is an aver. You can't. That's not shy. Here, they entered into an agreement that they're going to follow. You have a relationship between the employer and the employee, or between the one who's selling the merchandise and the one who's buying the merchandise. We say in advance, we're making ala tanai that if there'll be an asik, a sichsuch, we should follow dinin de malchus instead of following dinin hatar. So that's called tanaisha de mamekai. That's a machlekes hatanai, machlekes amer rabbiuda. And we pass like Reb Yudah. They're called Tarasha B'mamakai. Whenever there's Machlag Zameh Reb Yudah, we usually, most of the time, you pass like Reb Yudah. They're B'dovash B'mamakai, Tanoi Kaim. Yes, so Nachum also over here. What happened here? So Reb Yechanan interprets a very strange, what's the Machlag Zatanaim over here? Is that Posel Dainash Hazeb? Is that Posel the Reb Meir? What in the world is going on? He picked each one picks one Dayan, and the two Dayan pick the third Dayan. You pick the dine, I say, I don't approve. You have to pick a different dine. Who am I, Balabas? They say, I don't approve. The Chachamim say, you can't passel him unless, Amos say, when can you passel him? As much as maybe I'll aim rhyme, shen krayv mapsulim. If he's a korv, if he's a passel, but if he's a learned person, why should I have the right to passel him? So the Gemara Taka wants to know, what is my Reb Meir talking about? So Reb Yechanan interprets Pshat in the Mishnah, Barkosha Besuria. They live in a community where the community has established the Minhag HaMakom is that we are all the Balabatim, Ruba de Ruba of the Balabatim. When they have a court case, so they go to these Arkos. And even they know in advance that they may not give the correct Psak al Pi Halacha, so it'll be a Pshar. But they're accepting whatever they say. So the Chachamim are of the opinion that since the Rav, just like the Rav HaTzibur is Mekabel Shabbos early, so Tosefes Shabbos, the Kabbalah's Rav HaTzibur is binding on the whole Tzibur. So here, the Kabbalah of the Rav HaTzibur to go to these Dayanim, it's Mekubal by the Rav HaTzibur that these Dayanim are considered kosher. Even though they're Amaratzim, they'll be the first ones to say themselves. They don't know Halacha. But still, since the Rav HaTzibur is Mekabel them, so that Kabbalah is binding even on all the Yechidim as well. And that's a Chachamim hold. And Reb Meir says no, that if this fellow, I never went to this Dayan. I never had a Din Torah before. Or if I had a Din Torah, I went to a real Bezin. I never went to these Hakosha Besuria. So Reb Meir is of the opinion, just because the Rav HaTzibur accepts these people as bona fide Dayanim, I can tie in the guys in Amoritz, and no one's going to dispute it. Everybody knows that he is an Amoritz. So I can pass all your Dayan. I don't want him. You have to pick someone else instead. So that's what Reb Yechanan claims. So that's what the Gemara quotes over here, just like Reb Yechanan interpreted the second section in the Mishnah, that the machlekes Reb Meir and Chacham with the Zed Poisel Dainu Shel Zeh, or not, is talking about Akosha Besuria. So the first line in the Mishnah is also like that. Kishzeh Borah Le'echod, Vizeh Borah Le'echod. When Reuven picks one bezin, and Shimon picks a different bezin, and even if the Malva picked one bezin, the Levi picked another bezin, and it's not fair, we ought to say, Eved Levi Lish Malva. What right does the Levi have to Balabatov to insist he wants to have his bezin? What happened to Rablozer's din, Eved Levi Lish Malva? So the Gemara says, just like Rabbi Yechanan interpreted in the second section of the Mishnah, we're talking about Dayanim Horamei Ha'aretz, and that's the whole Machleg Zameh Nechachamim, whether the Kabbalah's Reva Tzibur is binding on the Yechidim as if they also accepted these Dayanim as if they're kosher. That's going to be the next Mishnah. That's going to be the discussion on the next Mishnah, Chavdala and Amnala. What's the din if you're Mekabel Pasul Adayonim? So Rabbi Yechanan interprets that that's the second section, and our Mishnah is talking about that. Then the Gemara now says the first section is also like that. Because she says that when the Malva picks, wants one Bezin, the Leiva wants another Bezin, so why should the Leiva have a right to Pasul up the Malva's Bezin? That he should have to pick a third Bezin? Once they have a Leiva Leish Malva? Gemara said, because we're talking about a case of Akosha Bisuria. But that isn't that the machlekes hamer nachachamim? And the next part of the Mishnah, and the Chachamim say, you cannot pasul. The Gemara says, yeah, you cannot pasul, but usually we say, Eved loiv leish malva, the loiv has no right to pick which bezin he wants, because Eved loiv leish malva. But over here, since we know that they're amaratzim, so the loiv does have a right. You don't always say, see, in the next line in the Mishnah, Zed pasul dinu shel zeh, to that extent, not. You can't passel him. The Chacham hold, you can't passel him. But over here, he picks a whole bezin. He wants to pick another bezin, so the Eved Leiva Leish Malva doesn't apply in this case. That's how the Gemara first suggested, based on Rabbi Yechanan. Just like Rabbi Yechanan said in the second section of the Mishnah, Achanami, in the first section, we're talking about Bar Kosha B'Sir Yishon. But if it would be a bona fide bezin, you're right. The Leiva wouldn't have the right to choose, to insist. We would say Eved Leiva Leish Malva, he has no right to insist that he wants his bezin. The Malva would win. Later there's a machlokes harishonim, when we draw a distinction between a Malva and a Leiva, means the Taveh versus the Nitva, or it means literally Eved Leiva Leish Malva, only a Leiva. Does mean every Nitva is an Eved to the Malva. So that's a machlokes harishonim at the end of the Perek. So this is the Gemara's first suggestion. Rapapa Amar, Rapapa says, why do you have to go so far? That Gemara at the end of the Perek is talking about the Pasuk Tzedek Tzedek Tirdaf Halocha Chabezni Yofer. So the Pasuk Pshat Tzedek Tzedek Tirdaf is a din on the Dayanim. They should give a just psak. And the Gemara has an additional level of interpretation. Halocha Chabezni Yofer, it's an Azhore, it's a Tzivui on the Baladinim. They should pick a superior Bezin. And even if the superior Bezin is in Chicago and California, so be it, we should go travel to Eretz Yisrael. We should travel there to have the din Torah. So the Gemara said, that's not fair, that the Leiva has the right to make the Malva spend money to go for a din Torah, Eved Leiva Leish Malva. But Rapapa says, they're both in the same city. So then, what's the problem, Eved Leiva Leish Malva? The Leiva has no right to make the Malva spend money to go to a different city, to get a Bezin Yofa, to get a better Psak. But if they're both in the same city, the Leiva can tie it to the Malva. I'm not being matriach you. Sure. So how did the Gemara interpret so far the Mishnah? When Reuven picks one bezin, Shimon picks another bezin, and neither wants to go to the other one's bezin, so then the din is shnei bar leimoid echad. So the two batedinim or the two baladinim have to agree to a third bezin. So the Gemara says it doesn't read straight to the Mishnah. Tan, it says in the Mishnah, shnei dayanim bar lehem oid echad. The two dayanim pick oid echad. What do you mean the two dayanim? So the Gemara thought now, not the two dayanim, the two batidinim. Gemara thought the two batidinim pick. Yisal gadadach kidir aminon. And if that's the correct pshat, zebar lebeznechod, zebar lebeznechod, and the two batidinim pick, why? Bezdin busted the pasulahu ozlu berilahu beidin achrina. I don't want to go to you. I don't want to be kafuf to your bezin. You don't want to be kafuf to my bezin. So I don't accept your bezin. You don't accept mine. So we say the two batidinim, which are not accepted, they should choose the third bezin. But the two batidinim were both rejected. So that's the Gemara's kasha. It doesn't make sense. Beidin busted the pasulahu. After I rejected them, after you rejected mine, I rejected yours. They go and they pick the third bezin. Why? But they were rejected. The ode, it doesn't read straight to the Mishnah. My zeh bar leechod is zeh bar leechod. It should say kish is zeh bar leechod. Zeh bar leechod sounds like this is the way it's supposed to go. This is the mahal. This is the correct mahalach. That's not the correct mahalach. This is in the event that Reuven picks one bezin and Shimon is not happy with that one. Shimon picks a different bezin and Reuven is not happy. So then the two batidinim pick a third one. But it doesn't have to go like that. It doesn't sound like that in the Mishnah. Elie the Gemara says he scrapped the whole pshat. Everything is not correct. Elochi kamar. And now this is a misprint. The Bach and the Marsha, they both say this is a misprint. Previously it should say kishe zeboira. Now it should say no, hachi kamar. This is the correct mahalach. Zebor la dayin echad, not zebor la bezin echad. Zebor la dayin echad, the bezin should be chosen. Could be it's rooted in a din d'oraisa. Could be it's legamre a din d'rabban. Zebor la dayin echad, zebor la dayin echad, shnei bor la moed echad. Why should you do like that? So, like they said in Eretz, the name Rab Zeira, yetzi adin la mitan. That's the reason for this takon. Here is the famous Rashi. Rashi says yetzi adin la mitan. The tzaisi baladinim. The baladinim will listen to the psak that will be issued. The sabachayiv, the one who will be, the bezin will decide, I'm mechayiv to pay. I will think, harei ani biatzmi birarti hu echad. I chose one of the dayanim. If there was any tzad that I should be potter, I shouldn't have to pay. He would have raised the issue because I chose him. And that's his responsibility to try to come up with the reason why I'm potter. So the baladinim will be happy over the psak, and the one is mukhif to pay will pay. He won't think that pulling the wool over his eyes. Because they were chosen by the baladin. It is a famous rosh. It's very relevant today, unfortunately. So the rosh starts off. He says, there are many who misread the Rashi, and they thought that Rashi said that because I choose one dayan, and he chooses the other dayan, so it's the responsibility of the dayan who was chosen by the baldin to act like a lawyer and to argue out the case on behalf of your baldin and to come up with all wild and crazy suggestions just in order to that your baldin should be right. So that's the Rosh in the beginning of Siman Beis. Mepnei, Sheesh Chasrei Das, there are people who are nits. Toyim, Divrei Rashi, they misread the Rashi. Well, the Meidim Imenu, Shadan, Yesh Lapa, Beskus, Oso, Shabir, of Yoimid, Bim Koima, Lachapois, Bidvorim, Ashaloi, Kedin, to make up a whole story. That's the common practice. That was the common practice in the days of the Rosh. Unfortunately, that's the common practice today also. They pick a boirer who knows how to make up stories, how to twist what it says in Shulchan Aruch, how to twist the facts of the case, and they're all relying on the Rashi. Rashi. So the Rosh says, they didn't mean the Rashi straight. Rashi didn't mean to make up, to invent the crazy stories and to invent dinim. Rashi just said, since Reuven picked me, so it's understood, I have to keep my eyes open to try to see, in all honesty, is there any tzad to say that the guy should be putter from pay? And the one who was chosen, the diner who was chosen by the other one, he's supposed to keep his eyes open. But it does mean ma'apir p'schusa to act like a lawyer and to make up stories and to change the facts and to change the halacha. Unfortunately, that's still the practice. Is a din in the Gemara, a baldin is not allowed to present the case not in the presence of the other baldin. So the Achrayim say that today that we have the practice of zabor le'echad, zabor le'echad. It's understood that it's understood that the baldin who chose one dayan is going to tell him his version of the story, not in the presence of the other baldin, and the other baldin is going to tell the version of his version of the story to his dayan that he chose, not in the presence of the other baldin. Some Achrayim say that's the common practice, so it's considered kilu hisnu. The whole din that you're not allowed to do that, lo sisa shem ashav, that you're not allowed to hear divrei baldin kodim shiava baldin chavera, is because it's not fair to the other baldin. But since today that's the common practice, so it's okay, as if both parties were moichel. So some say that's also not allowed. And some say that that's the minig is like that. And others say the minig is that you can take sheichad also. Everything is mutter. You can paskin a falshe psak also. Everything is mutter. This is back to the rush. That's scandalous. All right. So the people say the case shalav b'fnei baldin chavero. So the achrayim say that's mekubal. That's understood. That when it's a case of zavlo, so it's if both parties agree that each party can present his version of the story. But each dayan has to keep his ears open. He has to listen to the other baldin. Maybe he's going to contradict the version of the story that my baldin told me. So you have to be open-minded about it. You can't act like the lawyers. And the shaykhat, for sure, that's mamish. That's mamish wrong, to take shaykhat. It's always shaykhat. Isn't it always shaykhat? If I pick, Reuven picks one dayan, and Shimon picks the other dayan. So Reuven is going to pay a salary to his dayan. Shimon is going to pay the salary to his dayan. So the two of them together are going to pay the salary to the third dayan. But if I'm going to pay twice as much to my dayan as he's going to pay to his dayan, so my dayan is going to work harder to come up with some crazy reason why I'm right in the dintar. So that's mamash shaychad. How can it be acceptable? So that's what the poskim say, that it shouldn't be considered shaychad. So really, conceptually, each of Reuben and Shimon, the two baladim, should really pay the money they should pay all the money for all the three dayanim to the Bezdin. They should make out the check to the Bezdin. And then the Bezdin should divide the money among the dayan. But then the Achronim say, Afucha matar to lomali, why should he make out a check to the Bezdin? Bezdin makes out a check to the two dayanim. So I'll make out a check to my dayan, you'll make out a check to your dayan, but it has to be the same amount of money. But if I'm paying, they didn't make up in advance how much you're going to pay the dayan. So one party is paying his dayan twice as much as the other party is paying his dayan. So that's called sheikhat. If you're paying more, that's called sheikhat. Even though for the third dayan, they did make up how much they're going to pay, and each one is paying half of it. But if I'm paying my dayan, my burr, more than you're paying your burr, so that's called sheikhat. So that's against the din. You're not allowed to participate in such a din Torah. Okay. Maybe we'll stop here, but later on Sunday we'll continue.
Rabbi, well, first of all, thank you. Why should it matter how much more you're paying one dayan over the other? Meaning, as long as I'm paying him, he's fighting for me. He becomes my lawyer.
Yeah, but if he knows that he's getting paid more than the other guy, so he's going to be very happy about that fact, and he's going to certainly. That's the part.
Right, so there's more of a chance, but still, you know,
that's
still he's still being biased.
That's what it says in Chumash. It's going to be a problem.
We said before that I go to the shadow of the nether, and so he has to make the shadow of the nether.
Yes, he has to.
Suppose he did something that was wrong. He said he wasn't going to eat potato chips, and they made a nether, and then they see that he is eating potato chips.
Yeah.
Does he have to make a shadow there too? Because there's a question of that he was over on his shore.
Yeah, still, if he doesn't ask for the heter, so the heter is not valid.
Even if he
can't.
Clear that he was over on his